Well, hello everyone, and welcome to our South Australian Playwrights Theatre podcast, sort of episode 3, but we're not doing it sequentially. Mm. It just kind of happens. And I'm really, really fortunate and lucky to be in the podcast studio with the highly talented
vivacious... You are lucky,
quite. Lucy Slattery.
Hello.
And Katie O'Reilly, who are putting on an amazing show on the Fringe that I'm really excited about.
Good.
Called Theatre for the Time Poor.
Mm-hmm. Might we just say that it was... called Fast Theatre for the Time Poor, but due to some unexpected editing?
Yes, someone who was doing the registration for the Fringe just forgot to put that word in.
Ah.
But I don't mind it, Theatre for the Time Poor, Fast Theatre for the Time Poor either.
Yeah, you know.
And how many shows have you got in Theatre for the Time Poor?
So it runs from the 6th to the 10th of March with a possible matinee. 7:30 each night at Tandania Cafe.
7:45?
7:45, but come at 7:30.
Do, and have a drink. and check out some of the other wonderful shows you could go and see during the Fringe at Live at Tandania.
Oh, yeah. There's a great program, yeah.
And it's for the time poor, so they're quite short plays, is that correct?
Exactly. We have done a show previously with the same premise, but... we didn't call it that. That was just what we sort of knew in our heads that's what we were doing. And when we were trying to come up with a name for the show, we thought that was really what we were doing. And that was really the idea that we'd like to possibly keep running within the future as well. So
It worked really well. We like to use local playwrights if possible. And it gives them the chance to see or to test the water with some pieces that have been in their head that they just want to see how they go with an audience. Sometimes they're full 10-minute, 15-minute snippets. Sometimes they're just a scene from a play.
Okay.
Monologues. And also I think a fringe audience, this is just my personal opinion, they like that sort of short, sharp and shiny show. They don't want to sit and watch a two-hour piece of theatre at 9:30 at night.
Yeah. Yes, unless it's really good.
Unless it's really good, yes. Yeah.
But, the idea originally came from us as well because we, like most people, find ourselves to be a little short of time for creating.
And we have short attention spans. Yeah.
So often it's the creativity or your artistic... you know, life or self that gets put on the back burner.
Yes.
And so we were quite interested in pursuing this idea, which then became the project really, was that, you know, art is made in odd places in the bits of time you can grab.
Mm.
So it was...
works well.
Fast bits for us to work on when we could, and then it sort of evolved into what it was, and I think it's good.
I think it's a great idea. I mean, you've got very short pieces that can develop, can go further. Thematically, is there a link between them thematically?
That's a question that we ask ourselves a bit, I think.
It does happen quite organically, doesn't it? Yeah. Last time it was religion. So we just asked...
that thing you should never talk about.
Yeah, never talk about it. Yeah. One of them, yeah. And that just happened. Now, this show, if there's any link, I would say it would be...
I think death and family.
Death and family?
Yeah. Mm.
Well, they're always inevitable, aren't they?
Well, exactly.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Exactly.
You need a family of sorts to create life.
That's right.
And then life always ends in death.
That's true.
So it's a comedy? The only comedies, are they?
They are, actually.
We can make them funny.
They could be funny.
For
all the right reasons.
Yeah. So one of the pieces is by this guy called Matt Hawkins, called Waste.
Or Dump.
He's not really sure, but sure.
Yeah. Waste, dump, waste.
Yeah, and that's a bit family orientated, isn't it?
It is. Mm. And I guess loss was the greater idea that we were loss. Thinking about, wasn't
yeah,
it? And
yeah.
we were, because mortality was a bit of a theme for me last year.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
We talked about it, things like that a lot. Mm-hmm. And so I think we were probably looking for that to be a bit of a theme for us, because it was something that we'd been so, we'd been talking about and feeling about so much.
Yeah.
But I think... it's probably, it's in there, the loss, whether it's loss of life or loss of hope or loss of family or loss of control or loss of, you know, like I think is possibly what we're looking at.
Which everyone feels at some stage of their life. Mm-hmm. And it is, it's lack of control, regardless of the circumstances that it comes about. And I think theatre is a way of exploring these ideas and providing people with not necessarily answers, but a pointer towards answers, so they think and come up with their own answers.
Space to think about it and feel stuff without, you know, like necessarily directly having to go out and source it yourself.
Yes, absolutely. I think space to think is a great way of describing short plays as well. When you go to the theatre, you have the space to think about things that you wouldn't ordinarily think about.
That's
this, you know, flotsam and jetsam of everyday life that, you know, drives us all crazy. But it's a form of meditation, I think. Mm-hmm. Now, some of the other shows in your play, how many were, did you say? Four? Were there four short plays?
Well, at the moment there's...
Or is it growing?
At the moment. Well, we're still trying to fit everything in, but at the moment...
Because it's only 40, it's a 45-minute show. 45
minutes. Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it's short.
Oh, sweet. Nice and sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there are three larger sort of 10-minute-ish pieces, and there are three monologues at the moment.
So at the moment,
that makes six. Yeah. But it may be seven, and it may be five.
And are you performing all of them?
There's another actor as well that's in one of them.
Okay.
Is that
the wonderful Stephen Tongan?
It is.
Absolutely.
So he's going to be in a two-hander with myself, and then he'll be doing a monologue. So normally we like to do a monologue each, and then two or three-hander. So that's
But we just haven't ended up with a three-hander this time. So
we're
just
a bit different.
We're just like finessing how it all is going to fit together, but I think it'll be great.
Now the monologue, that's always scares the hell out of me, actually doing a monologue on stage, because there's nowhere to hide. How do you cope with it?
I prefer doing a monologue sometimes than a two-hander or
there's no one else to
bounce off
or rely on. But as well as that, it's you feel like you know yourself, I guess. And then you know your material.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a lovely piece to do from Ben Brooker.
Oh, yes. Yep.
Which I really like. So that helps no end.
Can you talk about the theme of that piece?
The theme of that piece is, I guess, that loss of power that we've been talking about.
Yeah.
I'm paraphrasing here because I don't, it was a while ago that we spoke about it, but
they haven't learned it yet.
I've learned the piece.
Of course you
have. Yeah. I've learned the piece.
Just making it up as you go along.
But that's a good thing about it.
Ben had a very specific event. It was around the political, around the Centrelink stuff that was happening in 2015.
Yeah.
2016, but I'm not sure that it was, he's going to answer this question, whether it was a specific news item or event or whatever that happened for him to start writing about it. But it was those big government changes where they were trying to make it very difficult for people to get the dole, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
And making people pay back breaches that may or may not be existent.
Right.
And
okay.
all of that, that was the climate around it.
Yeah.
The
idea of giving someone a handout, people resenting
that's
that,
right, you know, and and just making it as hard as it possibly can, but also the way that everyone else sort of thinks about it without, if that's never been part of your life, having to, you know, get employment benefits or any form of sickness benefits or anything like that, how the soul destroying it can be.
Absolutely.
For people. Like, and it's, and it needn't be, but it's the it's the way that we, you know, it is. It's pretty much attacked by mainstream media. It's attacked by conservative governments, and it's attacked by. And so, in general, we get this impression of what it is when really we have no idea. No.
I mean, it's a strange beast. I mean, the hallmark of a civilised society is that society which can look after its own citizens when they come into situations that they can't control. And I don't think anyone actively seeks to be on unemployment benefits.
No, and that was the discussion Ben and I were having when he gave me the piece, when I asked him if he had anything for us for this show.
Yes.
Because we were having the discussion about somebody I knew had said to me that that's, you know, somebody was living their life on the dole and having kids to get extra money. Yeah, and I was like, it's not very much money.
Very Sydney radio commentator.
Yes. And I, you know, the conversation around that. And I sort of said, well, why would, if that was your life, why would, it's obvious because there's a lack of, whatever the lack is of, whether it was of love when you were a child, whether it was of education when in the middle bit, whether it was of whether your parents lived the same life, whether, you know, whatever happened, I never think that it's a fair call to sort of say that people are living this life deliberately.
Yes,
because at what point does somebody who's only lived that way wake up and say, well, I think I might go and get it.
Yeah, yeah.
And who gives that person a job?
That's right.
When they walk into a
place. Absolutely. Mm. Well, it's a fascinating issue.
Yeah.
And I think we all need pariahs, don't we? We create this idea of the free
ride. Well, worse than that, we willingly believe somebody else's well put together idea of the pariah.
Mm.
So if the news tells, if Today Tonight tells us
about the
dog lodges. I'm not paying for their flat screen tax. Right? I pay for that tax.
Yeah, we pay for that.
Yeah.
And there are other characters. How about you, Katie?
So my monologue, I'm lucky actually. So it's from Lucy Coombe. And it's a play that she's putting on in a couple of weeks, actually.
Yes.
So my character in that play, I'm presenting that monologue in the show as well. So it's the character of Raylene, who is a... and the character is at a counselling session that she has to go to after she committed a little crime. She's a bit of a crazy lady, a evangelistic Christian... and this counselling session she doesn't think she has to be at, and it's just her expressing that.
Right.
Yes. So that's the monologue.
And Lucy was very generous.
Oh, yes.
Wasn't she?
She's given us another piece.
Okay, fantastic.
That she's also developing.
And, we're just taking a really little excerpt from it, and it's quite beautiful, and it's about family relationships.
Mother-daughter relationships in particular.
And I guess I'll chuck in there the control things, the control that we try to have over each other, the loss of control.
That mothers have over daughters.
And
all
that
other
children
way
have over, both.
Yes.
So, I'm really looking forward to getting stuck into that.
So that's another piece by Lucy. And then the other piece is from Albert Jamay that Stephen and I are doing, which is a couple who live a life of crime, and the scene is them being caught. A little bit of a twist happens. I'm not going to give too much away, but it does involve a bit of romance.
Well, a life of crime will always lead to your comeuppance in the theatre and stories. A friend of mine is a lawyer, and I asked him once, a criminal lawyer, and I said, does crime pay? That's his best. I expected him to say, no, crime never pays. You'll always get caught. And he said,
Pretty well, actually.
I thought, that doesn't fit in with my paradigm. I thought you always get punished.
Depends how you value
how
existentialist you are.
But your characters, for example, their life of crime were like Bonnie and Clyde.
Yes, they are.
Oh, cool.
And
Yeah, so they actually get busted by the police, and in the standoff,
Get romantic.
There's just the romantic.
This just a romantic moment.
Yeah,
just,
this is it.
Yeah. You know, okay.
What a life.
Well, I think it's worth coming to the show to see that romantic moment under duress.
It's not. I've built it up too much now. It's not that.
You haven't built it up too much. It's going to be brilliant.
They're having sex.
They're having sex on stage.
Yeah. No.
It's Fringe.
Well, maybe. Fringe.
Yeah.
Maybe. Anything goes. All a bit naughty. The Fringe, isn't it?
Well, Katie, she loves it.
Look, it's an absolutely fantastic show coming up in the Fringe. Those dates again?
The March the 6th through the 10th, so five nights. Check the weekend, there might be a matinee.
And if there is, come along. Hopefully we'll remember to come along as well.
Actually, don't go to WOMAD that day.
No, you can't go to WOMAD. You're not allowed to go to WOMAD that day. You can go to WOMAD on the Monday, but come to our show the other days.
Yes.
So it is a theatre for the time poor.
Theatre for the time poor.
Tandanya Cafe.
Excellent. And so I would just like to say a big thank you to Lucy and Katie. Thank you so much for being on the South Australian Playwrights Theatre podcast. And we hope to see you on the boards very soon.
Yes. Thanks, Matt.
Thank you.